on this edition of the latest Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our Recap YouTube channel, as well as available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcast. My partner, Gordon Whitmire, and I answer listener questions about the Cubbies, and it gets spirited. Welcome into another edition, and this one's going to be spirited. I promise you, because Gordon and I are so diametrically opposed on a few topics. I'm David.
It don't take much, Cap.
It's Gordon Whitmire, and you can get this podcast on our YouTube Recap channel, as well as available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcast. So we open this one up to the listeners. I want to do more of that. Put out some tweets. Hey, if you got a question, Gordon and I would love to dive right into it. The first question I'm going to ask you comes courtesy of me doing a show with Sylvie yesterday on ESPN 1000, and they have this list on the Waddle and Sylvie show of the 50 moments in Chicago sports you wish never happened, and they unveil these one every 2 weeks, go on the whole season. And the one that they unveiled yesterday was number 43, the 2021 trade deadline for the Cubs. And Sylvie's like, yeah, I wish that never would have happened. And I think it's one of the great ballsy moves in Chicago sports history, and it's 100% accurate. It's a great thing for the Cubs because most teams would have pandered. We got to keep these guys. They won the World Series 5 years earlier. Out of here. And now my team has got an upward trajectory. So I'll ask you that question. You know my thoughts. What do you say?
I don't know. I mean, you got this endless supply of blue effing Kool-Aid, man. We don't know that. There's no way to know whether that's the best thing or a great thing to happen to the
Cubs. We already know that. The Rockies wouldn't sign Chris Bryant again. The Tigers would never sign Javi Baez again. And Rizzo's been
But we gotta let Pete Crow Armstrong play out. Caleb Killian hasn't done anything yet. We thought he was going to be something. He hasn't been. Canario, another. We got to let these play out. And by the way, Rizzo has done well. Rizzo would have been a good guy to keep for multiple reasons. But
Rizzo missed half the year last year.
I'm telling you, the guy was the one guy that was probably – you could have had him for – not a break the bank amount of money. He was a guy that kept the clubhouse loose. He was a guy that was kind of like Kyle Hendricks is, but more so because he's an everyday player, was a guy that gives you a thread that leads directly back to that championship, what they're trying to do here. I mean, really, honestly, Schwarber's the one that was the dumbest one, the dumbest of all those moves. But of the guys that you traded, you know, Rizzo. My point is this, Cap. My only point is this. Like, I'm not going to try to defend Bryant's contract. I'm not going to try to defend what Baez has done since. I'm just saying, you don't know. You got no way of knowing yet. The jury's still out. They haven't done jack since then.
I do have a way of knowing.
They haven't made the playoffs since then. They haven't. Honestly, last year, you could say they came close, but they won, what, 83 games? I mean, it's barely 500. And they're running the same F&T back out there this year.
No, we're not. What you're failing to realize is that if I sign those guys to these monster deals, it ties my hands going forward for years. If Caleb Killian or Kevin Alcantara some of these dudes don't make it, guess what? You make the minimum money. I'll go get someone else.
Saying you wish the trade deadline deals in 2021 didn't happen doesn't necessarily mean you're saying, I wish we signed all those guys back. They were in first place in June, and they all knew they were getting traded. That's how it's set up. They got rid of Darvish in the offseason. And so this was coming. They knew it. And they were defying all odds to be in position to try to win. There's a side of this that's like, well, you really didn't give him a chance. I mean, Jed made up his mind before the season ever started, and he handicapped Rossi in his first full year as a manager. So that's the thing. I'll tell you what, a thing that I wish, like, okay, Craig Counsell might be great. That was a bold move to go get him, but Rossi did nothing wrong. I'm talking to people all over baseball who unsolicited are coming up to me over the course of spring and saying, what happened over there with your old team? What happened with the Cubs getting rid of Ross? And I said, well, it's Renteria Madden 2.0 without the same level of commitment to what you're bringing in that moment on the roster. And honestly, Rossi didn't do anything patently wrong. And everybody in baseball people agree with that. Like they were shocked. Like what the hell?
So you're going to, because they're jealous. Cause it's out of character for the Cubs. Jed went out and went,
they're shocked because
let's go.
They're shocked because it's a fool's errand to go chase wins by changing the manager. The managers make that much difference. And usually it's the other way around. It's a bad manager can bury you.
Yeah, let me go pull up your Sun Times column when you said that about Ricky Renteria.
That was that's apples and oranges, man. And I think Jed's like trying to borrow a page from that, and it doesn't fit. It's not the same. It's a very awkward, square peg in a round hole fit. So
you
I tell
got
you what,
the best manager in the game, you upgraded.
Okay, maybe Bruce Bochy's the best manager in the game, but whatever. You got a guy that. Cool. Even if you say he's the best manager in the game, tell me something that made Ross a bad manager.
Bullpen management, not good.
But the bullpen was not good.
And why is Chris Morrell not here till freaking May? Because Rossi didn't want him here.
And where was he going to play?
Oh, yeah, till he came up and he hit 25 bombs.
Okay.
I didn't know the 27 Yankees were over at 1060 West Addison.
What I'm saying is Ross is a good baseball man. It was his first normal season, spring training all the way through the season. I don't think he did a bad job. He had that team on the brink of the playoffs. There were some things that went wrong. There's no doubt that bullpen was crap, man. And it had no business performing as well as it did at times when it did. So I'm going to give him credit for managing what he was able to with that bullpen. And my point, the bottom line on this is, like, we can't point to something patently. There have been guys in the past, right? And you could come up with them right off the top of your head who have managed that ball club and were not good. And we know on the South Side, there's been some zingers, man, over the years, bad managers. And we know what that looks like. Ross wasn't a bad manager. So if you're going to say good manager, great manager, there's a minimal amount of difference in there as far as making a difference in wins and losses when you're dealing with a roster that's very similar. So all right. that's my point there. By the way, if you want my pick for what the Cubs fans should wish didn't happen in the last how many years? Let's just say the last 15 years.
Okay.
The DJ LeMahieu trade.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. No question. I would put up that what he would have done for that club in the transition, and then when they were ready to win, he could have been a more of a cost certainty at a time that they were chasing money, trying to keep winning. And that guy was good. That guy was way better than they thought he was when they got rid of him.
All right. So I have a number of questions from our great podcast viewers and listeners. So let's get into some of these. First of all, Sig wants to know, I think they're going to trade Madrigal. Do you have any opinion on that? If Christopher Morel shows through the rest of March that he can handle somewhat playing every day at third or playing 4 days a week, they might trade Nick Madrigal, because do they need Madrigal and Mastroboni and Morel all over at third? Probably not.
Well, maybe, but what's his value? What's his trade value? He's a one-tool player. I like him. He's a nice guy. He plays hard. No issue. But he's been a guy that's gotten hurt, and he's got basically one tool. It's a contact singles-type hitter.
Yes.
I just don't know what the market would be if you went to trade him. So that would be the one thing. I hear the logic in that, and it makes sense. But when it comes time to actually pull off the move, I don't know where you would go to send him. And certainly in a case like that, you probably would try to do something, get some kind of prospect in return or something. But I'm just not sure who's going to be out there knocking on your door for Nick Madrigal.
All right. Derg says, why does Gordon keep saying this is the same team? This year, you have better bullpen, stability at first base with Bellinger and Bush, possibly stability at third, manager who's great at winning one-run games, which was a weakness last year. Pitching staff looks to be as good or better as long as they stay healthy, and Tyone should be a better pitcher.
Bullpens and overall run prevention help you win one-run games. One-run results oftentimes come and go. If you want to say, and I've said this, I've said the biggest difference is the manager, right? If you want to know why I keep saying this is the same team, go read my last column on the recap site, because I break that down. I point out, look, the Athletic, Sahadev Sharma, a friend of ours, does a really good job over at the Athletic. He broke it down really well, what the differences were. He got in the weeds on what the differences were. And he wasn't wrong. I mean, there's, you know, Hector Neris is there. That's fine. Most of the bullpen is the same. There's a couple differences there. Stability at third, I wouldn't call that stability. I wouldn't even call that probable stability. It's basically the same group of possibilities out there. Morrell, if he nails it down, okay, that's stability. There's only stability at first base if you're counting Cody Bellinger, but then you're not putting him in center field. And now center field, a much more important position, is very unstable, because then you're looking at Pete Crow Armstrong probably as a more important piece of that equation. So Cody Bellinger's got to be in center field. That means you got Michael Bush at first base. That's not stable. We don't know. That's no better than having Hosmer and Mervis last year. Turn out, man. It might be, but might, probably, likely, prospect. He's good. All that's a question mark, minimum. That's not stability. He hasn't done it.
Johnny might get injured again, but guess what?
No. We're talking about a guy who hasn't done it in the big leagues yet. That, by definition, is instability. That's what I'm talking about. So you go look at it and just break it all down. You got Imanaga instead of Stroman. Stroman gave you for half a season an all-star effort. The second half, who knows? But who knows Imanaga? I've talked to people who really like Imanaga. I've also talked to people who are very doubtful that he's going to come right in and do a whole lot his first year. They seem to think his ceiling's right in the middle of that rotation. Well, Stroman's ceiling might have been a 2 instead of a 3. Now, he also didn't do that for the Cubs for a full season. So there's that. But that's roughly the same.
You cannot tell me that the PCL Player of the Year, second-ranked minor leaguer in the Dodgers system, isn't a better fit right now. And again, he could bust.
Do you know who else was the PCL Player of the Year? Brian effing LaHare about a decade ago.
He
was an all-star based on 6 weeks with a team that was in last place, a team that had no other all-stars. So, you know, listen to yourself, man. My point isn't that he won't be good. I'm not saying that he's not going to be good. I was asked about stability. The word stability was used, and I was asked why I think it's roughly the same team. That's part of why. It's definitive. The definition of instability in baseball is no big league experience to speak of.
All right. Here's the next question from Rip Baseball at Rip_MLB. With Bellinger and Bush as presumed starters, Bellinger in center, Bush at first, does Matt Mervis have a future as a Cub, or is he a trade candidate? I think before they give up on him, they'll send him back to the minors.
I think you're right. And you know, we get, as fans, a lot of times we get really quick to say, well, if this guy doesn't really fit, let's trade him. But if this guy doesn't fit, there's a huge, usually a reason. Like, if you can't find a way to use him, saying you're going to trade him and making him a trade candidate isn't automatic because you got to find the fit for somebody else. Matt Mervis, when he got to the big leagues, did not perform. Do I think he will? I think he's got a chance. Do I feel, what's my confidence meter level on that? Not super high. Who knows? So I don't know that the rest of baseball is looking at it like, boy, that Matt Mervis, man, I got to have him because he's a monster. No, I don't think they're looking at it that way right now. I think they're looking at it like this is a guy that's got some issues and couldn't handle big league pitching his first time up. So I don't know. He goes, if he doesn't fit, he goes to the minors. And if he's raking down there, maybe he raises his value and somebody comes asking for him. But I don't go shopping him. By the way, if you go shopping him right now and his value is low, it's another red flag on the guy.
Okay. The next question is Matt Shaw going to make an impact this year on the Chicago Cubs? I'm not sure they want to rush him to the big leagues with less than 12 months in the organization.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets an opportunity this year. To say he makes an impact this year is asking, I think, way too much. And we've already seen they've got some guys. They'd love to see Morel nail that job down, right? He's going to get first crack at it, and then you go from there. You have, from the right side, lower in the order, platoon kind of guy, you got Patrick Wisdom, who can play a little over there. Madrigal has handled it defensively. So if you're pitching really well and you're getting your offense from other parts of the lineup, you can have him over there as a run prevention solution if Morel's struggling. They've got some answers over there right now. The priority this year clearly is playoff time, right? And it's not going to be player development. If this guy gets called up, it's going to be because he's having a monster year in the minors and they think he's checked every box to have a chance. And then it probably also means something's gone on the big league roster where you have an opportunity, maybe a 15-day, 3-week thing where somebody's down with an injury. You can bring him in and give him a little runway and see what he can do with it. Beyond that, I don't see any big things with him at the big league level necessarily this year.
Okay, so let's see. The next one is, by no means, this is RoboCabin Life. By no means do I consider myself a huge Cubs fan, but he feels Pete Crow Armstrong is going to be a bust. Now, is he going to be Mike Trout? Probably not. But is he going to be a solid player? I believe so.
We already know he can handle the glove in out there. So we'll see what a little more development does. I'm sure as hell not going to call him a bust at this point. A lot of guys struggle when they first come up. Look, right. Is he Mike Trout? I ain't calling him Mike Trout. Is he Pujols hit the ground running when he came up? I mean, is he one of those guys? Sometimes, again, when it's our team, we tend to look at the top guys coming up in the system like they're those guys. And the reality is, even if they wind up with good big league careers, it doesn't really look pretty out of the gate. And so maybe this is one of those cases. He's going to need some time to get some at bats under him. We'll see what kind of opportunity he gets. I don't see it coming with Bellinger on the roster now. PCA's got to open in the minors, right? And then, you know, see what he does.
He'd have to kill it the last 3 weeks.
Right.
Kill it.
So, you know, he goes to the minors, he plays every day, he gets a bunch of at-bats under his belt, and he starts to get hot, and there's a place for him because of circumstances up with the big club. You bring him up and see what he does then. The fact that he had the experience he had last year is something you should feel good about if he's performing at AAA when you give him the next chance, and then see what happens.
All right, here's one from David out in the northern suburbs. That would be me. What is your record prediction for the Chicago Cubs? Because I'm on record today, reserve the right to change before opening day, 87 victories and a division title.
Well, I'll I haven't done this in a few years. I mean, I'll give you a winning record. I'll call it a winning record. I'm certainly not going to go higher than what you picked. I won't go as high as what you picked. It'll be similar to last year is what I would think. And look, you know, I'm not trying to be pessimistic about it. I'm trying to be realistic about this. Cody Bellinger came back off of three awful years and produced a good year. He also was hurt part of that time. He's going to be motivated again this year. He's also a year older, but he's still in his 20s. He should be fine. Justin Steele had a terrific season last year. He got Cy Young votes.
Past his career high in innings.
What's that?
He soared past his career high in innings. Right,
which is something to pay attention to this year.
No doubt about it.
He could have a really good season and it not be as good as last year. So, you know, there's Imanaga is a question mark. You know, I just don't see areas where I feel there's a slam dunk uptick coming. There could be. There's places where they have room to grow. There's also places where you kind of know who these players are. So I would suggest the bullpen has a chance to be a lot better. And that could go a long way toward getting to your number cap. But I'd say similar to last year, I'd say, you know, 83, 84 wins.
Okay, here's another one. This comes from Justin Drajansky. He said, "Hey, Gordon, how's that Yu Darvish trade looking now that Owen Casey is rocketing up to top three prospects in the system? And Darvish hadn't done that much in San Diego."
Talk to me when Owen Casey's a top three outfielder in baseball or a top three DH in baseball or whatever he's going to wind up being. Don't talk to me about prospects until they're not prospects anymore. That's what I would say.
Okay. And I think that's fair enough. Let's see. Does Matt Shaw, we already talked about him, make an impact this year? Okay. Nick Palazzolo says, "What do you think Jed Hoyer would do? Draft Caleb Williams or keep Justin Fields?"
Well, let's see.
Track record says he'd go get Caleb.
He'd go get Caleb because he can get him on a rookie contract. And then he's got club control. Yeah, Jed would totally go get Caleb Williams. Yeah.
Without a doubt. All right, last one. Chippy Chop Top says, "Guys, your ideal starting five in the rotation going into the season." I'll go first. For me, it's Steele. No order. Steele, Hendricks, Tyone, Imanaga, and Jordan Wicks. Those would be the five that I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the first four you mentioned are the four that are locked in. And so the last one, I was going to go there not because I think necessarily he's going to be the best guy this year, but if he is, that's your best chance to win. So I agree with you. That would be my ideal top five, but because if Jordan Wicks is good enough to be in that group and he continues to be good enough to be in that group, that's a very good sign for your ball club.
Big time. It gives you three lefties. Not a lot have three lefties out there.
True, and
Wicks.
You know, this, you're not in a division with the old Yankees or the current Yankees, for that matter.
Well, and I can't wait till Cade Horton arrives in town.
I mean, the nice thing is that you have reason to believe that you've got some depth behind that group too. So, and Cade Horton is obviously a key guy to watch in that regard.
He's a beast.
Yeah, but and you're going to need it, right? The better question might have been, who's your top seven? Because you're going to need those.
Yeah, that's why Drew Smiley's still here, and there'll be some Javier Assad. These guys are all going to get plenty of work.
No Gordon, question about it.
Always fun answering the listener questions. We will talk again soon. Have a great rest of your day.
And go on the site and check out the column, especially the guy that asked the question about why I say that's the same team as last year. That was answered in a column, and I got another one coming in a couple of days.
All right. It is at the cat. It's thecatman.com. Thecatman.com. You can click on Gordon's column. He posts it every week. There is some great, great stuff there. For Gordon, for our crew here at The Recap, have a great rest of your day. I'm David Kaplan. Go fly the W and take that.